In the last 40 years, there have been few bands that have shaken up the music scene quite like Steely Dan. Their blend of jazz and rock, funk, R&B led to success in the 70s, and since the band reunited, they're still touring. Just wrapped up a tour, I believe, earlier this month.
Now in a new memoir, the co-founder of the band, Donald Fagen, talks about his musical influences and gives readers a behind-the-scenes look at a recent concert tour, which is often a brutally honest account of his life on the road.
Donald Fagen joins us. He's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee. His career includes solo albums in addition to his work with Steely Dan. His new book is called Eminent Hipsters. Donald, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you.
Well, let's talk about that term. First of all, Eminent Hipsters. Who are you talking about there?
Well, a hipster has many definitions, I think, depending on your age and subculture and so on. But I'm using it in this particular book just to describe certain artists or performers that I used to listen to or read when I was a kid that had an influence on me.
And Henry Mancini was one of those, and I loved reading about that. I'm a big fan of some of the same songs you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Why Henry Mancini? Talk about him a little.
Well, I think, I must have been 9 or 10 when this TV show called Peter Gunn on TV, and I think that was probably the first time a lot of people heard Henry Mancini's music. He composed this jazz score that was really a lot of people had never heard what was then called cool jazz before hearing that music on TV. And a lot of people who later became jazz fans were introduced to jazz through his music.
Well, I hadn't thought about it listening to Steely Dan in the past, but with the horn section and the different kind of chord progressions, I mean, is there a straight or at least a curvy line from the cool jazz of Henry Mancini and others to at least some of Steely Dan's music?
Well, I think, of course, as I got older, I started to listening to the perhaps more authentic music that Henry Mancini was essentially using as a model for his music. So I, heard a lot of West Coast jazz and then started listening to jazz of all kinds. So I think he was one of the influences among many.
And then you mentioned people you listened to and people you read, and you talk about growing up as a fan of science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
What got you into science fiction?
I remember bought up one of those science fiction magazines. It could have been Galaxy or Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction, these monthly magazines that had stories in them that people used to buy at the time.
And any favorite authors that really stuck with you?
Well, in those days, I guess now they call it the golden age of science fiction, the 50s and early 60s, and there was, Heinlein, Ray Bradbury, Alfred Bester, Philip K. Dick, all these terrific writers.
Now, you mentioned delving deeper into the world of jazz, hitting jazz clubs, I think in your preteen years almost. You talk about jazz clubs back then and jazz clubs now. How do they compare? How do they stack up then and now?
First of all, in those days, jazz clubs were not nearly as expensive. You could really, for a few dollars, go see a whole night of jazz at the Vanguard or at a Five Spot, one of those clubs. And these days, it really costs a fortune just to see one set. So that's one thing. And, in those days, it was just much more casual. Everyone was smoking and it was a whole different scene. The whole atmosphere was different.
It was on the margins, kind of maybe more, I don't know, outsider or transgressive or something. And now it's like an establishment.
Well, I think, the music was new. First of all, and it was a great time for jazz. You had this kind of post-bop thing was happening. You had I saw Charles Mingus, I saw Coltrane, Thelonious Monk. Were in great periods then. I saw, and then I saw some older guys like Coleman Hawkins and Earl Hines and people like that. So it was a great sort of a jazz history lesson.
Well, tell us about the birth of the band Steely Dan.
Well, I was going to school at Bard College in upstate New York, and I met my partner, Walter Becker, who was a student a couple years behind me, and I heard him playing guitar in this campus club, and, you know, we started writing songs together, and then eventually we ended up in Los Angeles as staff writers for a record company called ABC Dunhill. We would write songs for the artists on the label, but we weren't very good at that, so we knew we had to start a band.
It was harder to write for other people than to write for your own band?
It was for us. We were terrible, terrible pop songwriters. Our stuff sounded like ripoffs of stuff that was on the radio. It was, you know, we couldn't be original in that particular form.
But you came up with a pretty unique, I would say unique original sound as Steely Dan. What was the difference there?
Well, we had these two notebooks. One was the pop songbook where we were writing songs for other people, and this other notebook we called the stuff in that book the Dynamite. And we thought, like, this is the stuff, like, we were born to write. But we knew we needed a band as a vehicle because we knew that the chords were too jazzy and the lyrics were too crazy to give to other people. We'd need our own band.
Well, as I mentioned, you did a lot of solo work between then and now. When you look back at the hits of the 70s for Steely Dan, how do you feel about them today, and how do you feel about playing them on a tour now?
I enjoy playing them. I think, you know, most of the audience is there to hear, stuff from the 70s and, you know, maybe a few more newer things. But we like to, we know that there's some fans who like to hear really deep cuts, and we play a few of those. But I think, you know, most of the fans are there because they want to hear these tunes that they remember from when they were kids or that their parents played, or their parents are there to hear those tunes. What we do is rearrange them, and we're not that strict about playing them exactly like the record, so the band does have a lot of leeway, so it's there. We make them fun to play for us, too.
I mentioned you had a Steely Dan tour this year. Last year, you had a different tour with Michael McDonald, I think, and Boz Scaggs, and
right.
A lot of your book is chronicling that. People may have an image of the glamorous rock and roll lifestyle on tour. That is not how you describe it.
No.
What is it like? It you make it sound not fun in some ways to be on tour.
Yeah. Well, touring was never a great fun thing for me. Even back when I was a kid in the 70s, it was always a bit of a grind. I think I just didn't have the constitution or the personality for it or something like that. But it doesn't get that much easier when you get older either. So I started to keep a journal every night. This was in the summer of 2012. And, you know, I sent it to this publisher, and he thought it was very funny. So it's basically a fairly realistic. I exaggerate some things to get a laugh, but essentially it tells you how a lot of musicians think when they're on the road.
And you diagnosed yourself with acute tour disorder.
Yeah, that's right. I made that up. But it's essentially after 2 or 3 weeks on the road, you know, something goes funny in the head, you know. And I think the way you cope with it is part of what the journal is about.
Well, and you've mentioned stage fright over the years, even panic attacks. I mean, how bad does it get as you're getting up on stage? Does it interfere with your ability to go up and perform?
I don't really get panic attacks anymore. I used to in the 70s, actually, but now I don't get so much of that. But as the tour goes on and you get kind of sort of physically drained and, you know, emotionally drained, after a while, like, you know, sometimes you'll be on stage and you'll start having, you know, strange fantasies while you're singing, or you'll get kind of paranoid, that kind of thing.
So what's next on your agenda? Another Steely Dan album or some solo work? Another fun rip around tour?
Well, yeah, Steely Dan was out this past summer and fall, and I think we're going to be doing some touring starting in the spring, I believe. That's what it looks like now.
All right. Well, just briefly, Deborah in Milwaukee called in and wanted to let you know you were an integral part of her childhood.
So well, thank you very much.
Hopefully that'll pep you up for the next time you come here to Wisconsin. All right, Donald, thank you so much for being here today.
And thank you.
That was Steely Dan co-founder Donald Fagen. We've been talking in part about his new memoir. It's called Eminent Hipsters.